Hello and welcome to another episode of The Advantage. I'm your host, Michael Fiddle. Today is Sunday, April 7th, and on today's podcast, we are doing another episode of Check Ball, where me and my esteemed high-ranking guest check in on the hottest topics around the NBA. We have a good list of topics to get through. It has been 2 weeks since we've done a Check Ball episode, which means we have not touched base on the Jontay Porter whole saga. So definitely, since this is a betting podcast, I want to share some thoughts and some way that I'm just thinking differently and what hasn't been commented on the Jontay Porter stuff. Bronny James declares for the draft. Y'all know I got a dog named Bronny, a girl dog named after LeBron. So I got thoughts on Bronny James declaring for the draft. Dorian Finney-Smith plays in front of his father for the first time in his life. That was a pretty awesome story that we should talk about. And then we are going to wrap with three things. Updating all of the key injuries around the league. Using those injury updates to look forward and imply things for the playoffs. And then honestly, guys, it's up to something season on The Advantage here. So we got some secrets to lay out and let you know what's going on and what to expect in the next few months on The Advantage. Let's get this thing popping. Welcome to another episode of Check Ball.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny in 10. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me and my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Y'all already know who it is. Whoa, he's in a different location today.
New spot. AD, let's go.
Our lead playoff analyst getting us ready for the final like 10 days of the NBA season. How you doing, my friend? Why'd you switch rooms?
So I'm in the same room. I got a big room here. I'm up in the burbs and I'm just at a different angle. Although last week I was in the porch. It's just not quite nice enough outside for me to do this from outside. I thought I'd post up inside.
There's no outside traditions that you have to be partaking in during the podcast?
I think during the podcast I can be inside, but I see you. I see you over there. I'm especially looking forward to Up to Some Season. The rest of the topics I see and talk about Up to Some Season looking real mysterious.
Yeah. All right. So Check Ball always starts with you choosing where we start, AV. Stay a little closer because your camera like blacks out a little. Yeah, stay closer.
Oh, cool. I'm out. Perfect. There you right go. There.
Where would you like to start this conversation off as we work through these list of topics? Let's actually just save the injury updates and the playoff stuff for last. That's my only.
Perfect. I think we should knock Bronny James out the way. Cause I'm kind of curious what's going on. I don't watch a lot of college. I know your dog's name is Bronny. I like how you specified it's a girl dog. Bronny's great. She's a giant. That picture did not do her justice. She's a big, big lady. I think we should start with Bronny because I don't really follow USC, so I don't know if he's ready. Every indication has been he's not. I understand there's the draw to get LeBron there into the city, but LeBron doesn't feel done with the Lakers yet. I know people like Kostas and Thanasis Antetokounmpo both get drafted anyway. I know he was leaving. And so like, what is this about? Is this more of like a PR play?
So I just want to go big picture first and go, watch the NBA right now and tell me that like so many of these dudes kind of shouldn't are up, down, in, out of the league at any moment of time. Like are all of these roster spots as precious as we say? I'm watching these teams roll out players that I've never heard of. Like the Grizzlies today, the people who are the Grizzlies have been playing
that's
recently.
Different. No, that's
Herrera
different.
Or wherever he is. Like I have no idea who these guys are. So to say that Bronny James doesn't deserve any run, has to go back to another year of college, won't develop in the NBA. These are some of the things that I want to hit within this story. To me, it's just ridiculous. I've been having two thoughts recently as I've been watching this. One is Bronny could scoop up some of these minutes in a late March, early April game. And then two is like, Where's Rhondae Hollis Jefferson? I know it's completely side topic. Do you remember how good he was this international season in FIBA?
I do, but he's also got to be pretty old. I know that he's sort of that, like, that long, tall combo LeBron counter, but I have not thought about him well. Going back to Bronny, I'm not anti any of those things. I think the issue is that you're describing tanking or bad teams when anyone can get burned. And the whole point, sort of him coming into the league is to pair with LeBron, and they'd never pair on a team that wasn't at least trying to make a playoff run. So it's, can he take up a spot on a Bucks type team where they're making runs and they still give a spot to Thanasis? Yeah, because they give a spot to Thanasis. And if he can be like a, you know, I don't watch him enough, but like a Gary Payton the second type player where he's a great energy guy, defender, rebounder, and then he can give you some. So great. Let's, like, if he is that, and I don't know him to be that, great. Put him on the team.
Right. If he could be a, 6'4" in shoes, probably still growing because he's only a college freshman. They do basketball heights in shoes. That's why I say that. He's probably a phenomenal perimeter defender. He could be an absolute force out there. You could throw him out there for short stints of minutes and see what he's got in the tank. Apparently, he's a phenomenal defender. Apparently, he's a phenomenal teammate. We talk about other
intangibles, other factors,
like Beyonce Tecumpos, who are taking roster spots because you're giving that. Didn't they even do that with the Knicks with Chris Smith to bring back JR?
Yeah, I mean, he was young, but you're right. Absolutely, yes.
It's insane to me that we're saying that Bronny James can't be in the league when we're putting, not to throw shade at them, but Thanasis and Chris Smith to bring JR Smith back to the Knicks. You're not going to bring LeBron's son to bring out the best of him on your team. They do that all the time. They've brought in so many end of bench players. How long did Champ James Jones stay with Bron for the end of his career?
Yeah, I mean, slightly different. What about UD role, but on the agree. Team? Exactly. UD is doing a lot that I don't know if Bronny does right away, but I agree. I agree. I would agree with all these points. I especially if it gets LeBron to your team, that, and it's, you're not the Lakers and you don't already have him. So I'm on board with that, especially, and I don't really know this as much, if you can develop in the NBA, because I tend to think you actually can develop better than people think, because you're not going to classes, you're only focused on basketball. I mean, I know that, you know, when you talk about practices in the NBA during the season, you're like barely practicing or getting a run. You're like, it's almost like a walkthrough, it sounds like, for a lot of these teams with vets and stuff. So is he getting enough practice then? Probably still, because all he does is basketball, no classes.
So the rumors are right now Bronny is expected to return to school, to a college. Hopefully he goes to a college. Like, they talk about Wemby's development and the fact that he chose teams at specific points in his growth that were going to allow him to do things. He wasn't just going to the best team and fitting in as a role player, doing what he's asked to do. He was going to places where he was going to have the opportunity to grow. So hopefully Bronny takes that, because joining USC, where you're with four other five-star freshmen, doesn't really allow any of them to flourish. That's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like Bronny has one more of an NBA-ready game. He's been developed by a guy who never played the college game.
Facts.
Right? And then we go to the second part. You're surrounded by people who also need to get their shine. If you fit Bronny into the right team environment, or you put Bronny to a team where the rest of the people try and fit around him and accentuate his growth, then let's see what happens and let's just relax a little bit. Go look up Jimmy Butler's freshman year college stats, right? Look at what Giannis did when he entered the league. Look at Jokic. Look at all of the greats and how much they've developed once they've entered the league. Kobe didn't go to college. Like, these guys got so much better when they were in the league. I know I'm talking about all-time greats and Bronny's probably not that, but that doesn't mean development doesn't happen in the NBA, because clearly it has, and it's led to all-time greats.
I strongly agree. The last thing before we move on to some of these other topics is, I will say that exactly what you're saying, his game, the way he plays this defensive-minded, you know, high IQ style basketball, it's just so much easier to fit in when you're not a star and you're not developed yet. You don't need to come in and have the ball and have usage. You can come in and just be scrappy, hustle, and not take away from the team. It's easier to find you minutes that way. But yeah, let's move on to Jonte, probably, if I can pick another topic here, because this has been kind of crazy and we just took Easter Sunday off.
Yeah, so we took last week off for Easter Sunday when this was like really the talk of the town around the NBA. It's kind of died down quick. First thing that I want to note, suddenly I haven't seen much of anyone talking about it. It was everything anyone could have talked about, and we're suddenly back to DraftKings and FanDuel ads every commercial break, and no word on the Jonte Porter stuff, AV. What do you know about the situation? How much do we need to cover the high-level details before I give my spin on it?
You can spin pretty quickly, and I think because it's been out for so long, other people know too. I will say the biggest thing that I want to highlight that I know here is that it sounds to me like he was both putting out information in a Discord or private chat, giving people info when he wasn't going to play because he was going to be sick or whatever like that to move the line. And a lot of people were betting on it. And then I also think he was betting himself, and that part of the issue there is that, unlike a Pete Rose, and I know that was the biggest deal ever, apparently Pete Rose was always betting on himself to win. He was putting himself in a situation where he was actually taking away from his team's chance to win by either faking sick or not saying when he was going to be out. And it seems like it's a big problem, even though he's a scrub anyway, and you can kick him out of the league.
Yeah, so to what you said, I'm not sure that he was directly giving out his
in a Discord. The
Discord, I think it was financial trading advice and like crypto stuff he was very into. Okay. I don't know if we know for sure yet that he was confirmed telling people, but I mean, if we look at the other stuff that we know lots of people were trying to put together Jonte Porter under parlays, which here's just my separate take on it. And I don't want to spend too long on it because I think actually it's been covered pretty well. I think we've understand that because gambling is so prevalent and so legalized and so legislated and monitored for all these different reasons, we actually caught it pretty quick. I'm sure it was red flags the first time it happened, and DraftKings was like, "Man, let's just chalk it up to a lucky instance when, you know, people bet his unders and he ended up going out with an eye injury." The immediate second time it happens, it's red flags. We caught it. It only happened twice. So my first thought was, how many other players have been able to do this for years and years and years without our knowledge? Immediately, it was like a weird feeling for me going, like, damn near my full-time career is betting on the NBA, and that's how I generate my revenue. So, like, how do I come to grips with the fact that I'm not on the ends of that information, and that information is going to so heavily impact what I'm doing, and it's probably been happening for so long, probably a smaller scale than what actually impacts the outcome of, like, a lot of games. But, AV, it's definitely happened. When I first heard this story happen, it's happened 20, 50, 100 other times. And then my other thing, my last thought on it, and this was kind of like the catch-22 of it. These fucking sports books, AV, want you to bet parlays and want you to bet overs and want you to do the dumbest bets in the world. And the biggest catch-22 paradox of it all was now that they got fucked, because at the end of this all, DraftKings still lost a lot of money, right? And DraftKings still paying out those bets as they figure out what happened.
Okay.
DraftKings gets fucked because people are doing dumb bets on under. So it's like a little bit of like vindication that somebody got the big bad wolf that's trying to entice people to do these dumb parlay bets and bet player prop overs and stack them together in SGPs. They got screwed by someone SGPing a load of unders against them and cashing massive tickets. Kind of fucking funny.
I respect that there. It's funny because your take from this is so much more of like a gambler and like in the career space. And my thought is really like, as a fan, I already don't love how much of the talk and advertisement and everything surrounding the game has gone towards betting a little bit, especially some of the conversation when it's so interesting to talk about other things sometimes for me. But even more so, it's like, this is the first year, it feels like, maybe second year, that they've really rolled out betting and the league's embraced it and all that. And already you're getting people doing the worst kinds of things, players betting against themselves. And the last point I'll make there too, and I'm sure you'll comment also, is he makes $2 million a year. So he's among the lesser paid players in the league, maybe the least. That being said, what are you... maybe I just don't know, and there's actually a lot of money to be made there. What do your bets look like that it makes $2 million in the league look like it's not worth it to risk to you? I don't understand that.
Oh, I think he was being paid. My assumption, if we're going to get into like conspiracy theories on this,
my assumption
was that somebody who's a big wig who can get a lot of money down at a lot of different books and offshore books too, right? Because those are not coming out saying we were hit by the scandal and we were tracked and these are our limits, and we're not hearing it from the ESPN reports and everything. I'm 90% certain there were offshore books involved as well. And that people approached him to do this and paid him off to do this and maybe gave him a few $100,000 to do it for a game or two. And he did it the first game, got caught scot-free and was like, oh, I'll do it again for you guys. That's my assumption of what happened behind the scenes. Then that leads to the second thought of, well, that person's probably approached Michael Porter Jr. too. Like, I know I'm getting like wild conspiracy theory here.
No, I like your
conspiracy. My brain's going.
Yeah, no, this makes sense to me. I don't know if he's reported Michael Porter Jr. I do think Jonte is sort of uniquely approachable that way because he has this reputation as like a go-getter in the crypto or alternative financial kind of like not get rich quick schemes, but day trading, quick flip type, like, you know, more maverick type stuff. And so they might go after him and be like, this guy's more entrepreneurial versus MPJ. You go after, he's on a max. Like, why would you
five
do this?
Years, if you're 180 million AV five, like, yeah, let's make this stamped. I don't think MPJ's involved.
Yeah,
there's 180 million.
Yeah.
Like there's probably no reason to even bother with an athlete like that, as opposed to like, we talked about a few weeks ago, one of the, like the Vanderbilt quarterbacks saying that he was approached at a steakhouse and asked to throw an SEC game, right? I brought that up on an episode of Check Ball a few weeks ago with you.
I don't, and that's what I'm trying to play off. But I would say that this seems to happen more than people realize, which is a shame because it takes away from betting, which is otherwise has some upsides, but it. This is frustrating. I would, even with your conspiracy, it's hard for me to imagine he would have to be offered almost $1 million+ because of what he's making and potentially risking in future earnings. Because he's actually had a potential. Jonte, $2 million a year now plus actual future earnings. He could be out of the league forever. You would have to be, unless you're like kind of stupid, you have to be offered much money.
I'm saying, you're putting your Duke on a lawyer intelligence stupid. Level to this, right? You're very qualified to kind of break down the math of that all and actually read the contract and then rewrite the contract and all that stuff. Jonte, not so much. But dude can put the ball in the hoop way better than you ever could, AV. So
he should know that.
Yeah, and he shouldn't have done this because he would have made a lot more money than you putting pen to paper. Should we move on? Is there anything else that we need to cover with Jonte? I'm just trying to think.
No, those are good ones. I'm happy we hit how much he's paid. I'm happy we ended up actually getting.
Is the solution that no player props should be priced if people are on anything below a MLE or if you're on a rookie contract?
Oh,
no,
that's
prop
interesting.
Or like, where's the line? Because sportsbooks don't want to do that because they make a lot of good money off these fucking props that are widely available, and then people stack eight legs together in SGP and then put it in at +60 to 1 odds. It's a terrible bet, but oh my god, these eight legs look good. If you then limit the number of legs that are offered, people are inherently going to make smarter bets by having less big parlays, right? So the EV for the books is actually going to get lessened if they don't price these things in. But at the same time, how much do you, like, and the NFL says, protect the shield? Or, like, how much do you protect the integrity of the game for the NBA? And where's the symbiosis in that balance to say it becomes mutually beneficial for us to be right here?
Oh, they have to be working together on this. And like you're saying that, you know, obviously the books are motivated to come up with a way to kind of cancel these low-level people who may actually have value in cheating, essentially. The NBA has even more incentive here, and they should be on the other side saying we have to actually kick him out of the league. I don't know if there's, you know, so you say I'm a lawyer, I don't do criminal anything. I want to know if they go after him with criminal stuff, because it's a big deal. I mean, I there has to be not only just an example made of him, but every single person that, like, this is, again, I know this is crazy because Pete Rose is such a big name, but it's worse than Pete Rose when you bet against yourself and you cheat in this way. It's almost like if you're betting for yourself, it's like you're not messing with the integrity. I don't know. Yeah.
I think we're going to find out more about Shohei in the next few weeks. We haven't touched on that on Check Ball. We're not going to. There was plenty of this in the NFL. I think there was that guy on the Colts. I don't know his name. Isaiah Rogers or something that was betting apparently against the Colts. There was plenty of players throughout the NFL that were betting on in the team parking lot, and they got various suspensions. There was the Calvin Ridley stuff. So I think there's going to be a moment where there's something big made of it. And I'm wondering if it's Jonte Porter, but let's move on. Dodo, your boy Dodo. The place where I learned the nickname Dodo exists was on phone calls talking ball with AV. Dorian Finney-Smith, I was able to drop some knowledge on you yesterday, played in front of his father for for the first time in his life, because his father has been in jail for apparently the last 30 years. I don't really know what the story is or what happened. But his father was sitting courtside at the Nets game yesterday to watch Dorian Finney-Smith play against the Detroit Pistons on a Saturday, April 6th game in Brooklyn, AV. So when I heard this news, people on Twitter who might be listening to this pod probably saw those tweets and maybe even followed and tailed along. I saw his prop lines, DraftKings 7.5, FanDuel 8.5. Dodo to score 15 points was 7-1, plus 700. Rebounds prop was 4.5. Threes prop was 1.5 threes at plus money. I said, sprinkle, 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 sprinkle. I found the best one. I found the best odds. First of all, sidebar gambling thought. I tried to put them in a parlay and see if the boost would be worth it. It is such fucking robbery, and it is such a dumb bet that I ended up not even doing it, thinking I had as big of an edge as they might make Dorian Finney-Smith the feature guy in this game because of the storyline and everything else being meaningless, right? So sometimes when you do have as big of an edge where like, oh, I know for sure Jonte Porter is going to go out after 3 minutes. Yeah, take the multipliers and parlay things. When you don't have these edge, you need to calculate and understand what these correlated values are. These are blind robbery, theft, bank robber type shit. Don't play them. So I ended up playing them all as straights, AV. Ended up losing them all. Dorian Finney-Smith comes out in the first 5 minutes, starts at power forward, shoots three threes in the first 5 minutes and misses them all. Just like, not like bricks, but they rim out. Seems like he's pressing a little bit. First of all, as someone who's betting player prop overs, I liked to see my guy come out and press a little bit and look for a shot with it. I said, okay, 3 minutes into the game. I said, oh, I mean, he's 0 for 3, but this is a good sign. This is a good sign that he'll have eight, nine points, you know, two threes in the game by the end of the game. Ends up scoring, I think, 2 points, had 7 rebounds, so he cashed the rebounds prop.
Okay.
But otherwise, blanked the rest of the slate. And the bigger thing that I want to talk about here, and it's not just me tilting about losing my bets, because me explaining that I bet it helps me show you, AV, how I was paying attention to it. And I was keeping a close eye.
Not your biases, that it's your level of interest. I got you.
Fair, yeah. I felt like Kevin Ollie, pulled the plug on him. Noah Clowney is the backup four.
Yeah, he's been getting some,
genuinely played phenomenal.
Yeah, he has been playing well. Yeah.
I don't know if Kevin Ollie just tosses his sides, we got to play Clowney. And keep him in there. And Nets had a great run and ended the game on a 16-0 run and a comeback win with him in there and pulled Dodo with 4 minutes left or whatever. But Dorian clearly played less minutes than his normal rotation. We have the Nets situation where they are clearly not in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they're going against
huge.
The Pistons, who are clearly, these teams cannot even make the play in anymore. Right? It's not even about, oh, it's not a seeding. It's they're already book their flights to Cabo. They already know the date at the end of the season when their exit interviews are lined up. So I was just wondering, and I know I've gone on a rant about this for a while. How would you approach this from a coaching situation? If you're Kevin Ollie in that situation, are you pulling Dodo if you don't think he's playing well because you're an interim coach and you want that job? Or are you playing Dodo and telling the team pregame and postgame and getting the love of the locker room, being like, we're giving this guy some run?
I mean, so you said it right there. The goal of an interim coach is to get the locker room to love you. You want an Antonio Pierce and the guy on the radio before that.
Great pump.
Thank you. You want to come in and just have them all love you. That's your best chance to stick around. And it's your best chance to get other jobs in the league. These guys are going to go to bat for you. You can actually create relationships. So I would say I don't know what they were trying to do in the standings, because Dodo does actually affect winning. So if it was somehow helpful for them to drop one or two in the standings and maybe get better odds. No, he's not. So if that's not part of it,
they're
almost
swapping
no way,
their pick with Houston.
Oh, so there's almost no way that the upside of the value of a relationship with someone like Dorian Finney-Smith, who probably a really big deal to him with his dad there. I don't know what he said about in the press or how much he wants to make a big deal, but first game, sent parent there, emotional. Obviously, at bare minimum, you want to play. You want to play well, but certainly you want to play. And so, you know, if you're not only not even hitting your minutes, but you're not in at the end when it matters, and your dad's there, that look.
And you were a starter. Yeah, you started the game, yeah. But you were pulled at the end.
Yeah, he's someone who affects winning. I mean, that's hard. Maybe they've handled that.
I didn't
that.
Like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't just losing the bet, right? Because the money was trivial. It's not. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't the biggest deal. We're having a fantastic season, so I can lose a bet here or there. I don't win them all. Kevin Ollie said before the game, I know it's going to be significant for him and he's going to handle it like a pro. Go out, do his job. But I imagine you have some special joy inside for his dad to watch him finally play.
And so is he rubbing it in, dude? I mean, no. You know what?
That was pregame.
So I was going to say, because that's pregame, even though it's a hilarious quote, because he did the exact opposite of what he's saying.
The exact opposite.
The fact that is pregame makes me think that he had every intention of doing the right thing and playing DFS Dodo as much as he could. And Clowney was hat. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I know he was hot on r/NBA. People are talking about this guy who actually could have a bit of a future. This is a good time to find those types of guys at the end of the season. But no, there was just too significant of an event to kind of ignore that.
All right. Are we ready to check in on injury updates around the league?
Yeah, this one makes me sad because we get so excited for the playoffs and then we say the one thing that could derail it is injuries. And then we have a segment like this and I see six big guys on this list. It is a shame. Let's start with Kawhi because that bothers me the most.
Okay, I was gonna bring Alec in because I think Okay, he's joining us now. Alec, I'm gonna bring you in. Hey, how you doing, bud?
Smooth. Welcome in. Nice.
For everyone listening, this is Alec Boustin. He is the video producer for The Advantage. You ever see the short clips chopped up? This is the guy who's making them for us. He's been a great help for us. He's also been appearing at most of the end of the episodes of Check Ball. But today we're going to bring him in a little early. And I gave Alec the assignment of trying to corral the most recent injury report so we know what the latest information is.
Good.
As we work through the unfortunate rash of injuries throughout the NBA. So, Alec.
What does he have on Kawhi?
Yeah, can we start with Kawhi?
So, Kawhi is out. Kawhi is out today. I think it's just right knee maintenance, so I haven't found anything more substantial than that, but
one thing we were going to start with is the Clippers. We know we were getting no information on a Kawhi injury,
And Ty has been real weird about it in his press conferences where there sort of hasn't been a lot of updates, but then they've been like, are you concerned? And I'm like, yeah. But I was like, it's Kawhi. This could be the sort of thing where they know every single year they've had a great team derailed by injuries, and they're like, can we just save our guy Kawhi? If he's at all feeling sore, like, let's rest him. I hope.
What about
I
Kat?
Really hope.
Can we go to Kat?
They're calling it maintenance with Kawhi, so we'll see.
But okay.
Kat is. There's optimism he could be back before the end of the regular season. Beyond that, there's no clear timetable.
So okay. Are we assuming that means he is clear for the playoffs? That like he will be there when the playoffs count? Because you also get a week with the play-in, which Minnesota will not be involved with. They'll be figuring out who their seeding is and who's coming to them for their game one. So he'll also have an extra week besides maybe getting back. So how big of a deal is Kat getting in some run at the end of the regular season? Or if he's ready to go at the playoffs, how good do you feel about Minnesota, Avi?
Yeah, I think that they would actually value that time of reintegrating him into the offense and seeing what it's like because they've had so much success with the Ant-Rudy pairing. And, you know, playing two bigs is such a big deal. Part of the reason that I think they actually might be more ready for that is because they have a guy like Naz Reid who steps in and not replicates because Kat's such a freak, but, you know, does a lot of the same things the same way with the same style where he's two bigs, but you're perimeter. So I think getting him back will be big for them, mostly because I think that's what makes them so unique and hard to deal with is their size and their double big. So when you don't have that, you kind of take away their superpower.
Where I'm pulling up the NBA standings right now. Where do they stand? Because Avi, you've been so anti-Timberwolves in a potential playoff situation because you're the Gobert fader of the Advantage. They're currently the number two seed, which means they're lining up with the winner of the first play-in game, which would be Pelicans versus Lakers right now. So let's say they play the Pelicans. Are you taking the Timberwolves or the Pels?
I think I'm taking the Timberwolves there, especially with the Zion injury that we're going to get to. But I am taking the Lakers over them, if that is the more exciting answer there. I haven't seen it out of Gobert in the playoffs. I know they're getting Cat back, but that'll take some time. The reason that I'm so hesitant to go against Minnesota Timberwolves, because a guy like Ant can really carry you in the playoffs. If your star is like a more Jordan mindset, where I'm going to get it every offensive possession, I'm locking up their best player, their best wing, every possession. I mean, we saw things from him when he was so young in the playoffs that makes you know he's the kind of guy who can put a team on their back, and there's five of those in the league. So that's enough maybe to make me excited about them. But yeah, I would have to see more out of Gobert. That's a tough matchup if they get the Lakers. I think they should be gunning for that one seed. Let me tell you, because they're only a half game back.
Yeah, I would take Minnesota over both, to be honest, right now. So okay. Not overly concerned with it. Let's move on to the next one. No more thoughts on that. Alec, choose the next one and give us another injury update.
So AV touched on Zion there. He will play today.
Nice.
He's in. Alvarado's in as well.
Good.
Let's
What about BI while we're on the Pels?
So BI, yeah, good call there. BI is out at least two more games, so potential return on the 11th.
That feels imminent also. I mean, it's been amazing that they
news so far.
It really is. We want this team specifically to be healthy in the playoffs, because they've done so well with a Zion who's had a finger, without a BI. I mean, they have so much potential. The way they're defending, I want them to do well in the playoffs. I don't know. What do you think about Willie Green? I know we love our coaches' conversations. You're a Willie Green fan, right? You think he can hang in the playoffs?
So, yeah, I do think he can hang. He's quick to make adjustments, and I've been speaking with people. I don't know within Action Network, some of them think he's too quick to make an adjustment.
Oh.
He's too quick to pull the plug on the Jonas Valanciunas lineups and go to the Larry Nance. I will give you this sneak preview for betting, AV. Do you remember, because you're not a bettor, right? I bring you on to check ball. We go around the hottest topics around the NBA. How many times have I asked you to give out a bet on the Advantage? Zero? One?
Very few times. Yeah, and it was like maybe the first two episodes when I was like, not really my bag.
Yeah, okay. So do you remember one time when we did an episode and you just randomly said, I think Wiggins could lead the series in rebounds? And I ended up looking it up, and it was 19-1.
Yes,
we fucking nailed it for Wiggins to lead a playoff series in rebounds. And he was flying in, and you were calling this. He's like, he's crashing the glass. I'm watching it every game. So the reason why I call that out, and the reason why I talk about Willie Green pulling Jonas Valanciunas, if we get to the playoffs, one of the first bets that I might make, if it's like a Clippers-Pelicans series, or if it's I don't think I would do it against the Timberwolves and Gobert, but Zion to lead the series in rebounds, because if they pull him and if they pull JoVal and they play half minutes with Nance and Zion is there and asked to crash the glass more often, you're going to get that at +400, +500, +600, and I'm going to love that.
Respect. I like that. Even when they play point Zion, obviously, for those who watch, that doesn't mean he plays point on defense. He'll be in position to get rebounds. They'll be hiding him.
And he crashes. He gets two or three of his own offensive rebounds.
The mellow style. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's another one. Alec, Donovan Mitchell is maintenance and out for today, but he'd been playing. I think that means he's going to be okay. The way I'm reading that moving forward is Donovan not going to play in back-to-backs, but once we get to the playoffs, there will be no back-to-backs. How much are you concerned about it for going four rounds and having to play intense basketball pretty much every other day once it gets down to the closer territory? Or do we think Donovan's starting to be in the clear now that he's back?
I think it's definitely a little bit of a concern, just that it doesn't seem like he's 100%, because they have to keep him out and sort of maintain this. They are listing it as just injury management, so maybe they're ramping him up for the playoffs, but it's tough to be 100% on that at this point.
What about Malik Monk? I know I didn't even put him on the list. Did you happen to check in with him? I'm just going through who's playing today. I see Sacramento on the list. I'm thinking, well, that's going to be a big one if he's going to be ready come play in tournament,
huge.
Right? Because now the Kings are in the 9-10.
He's so big for them.
Yeah, I mean, he's set to miss at least the first 2 weeks of the playoffs.
Oh,
He's out. Yeah. He's out. So four, that's all. He's out 4-6 as of the 30th. That puts him at.
Does that immediately take the Kings out of the running to even make the playoffs? They're now in the 9-10. Are you like Kings Cook to not even win two play-in games back to back?
It is kind of crazy because he's a sixth man. So why does he have such a huge effect? But he does because they need him to fulfill that role. He's fearless in the playoffs, so you get a bigger boost from him. Plus, you know, if you think about the overlap with him and Herter, I think Herter is hurt and not playing well.
Herter's out for the year as well.
So it's year. You need him so badly. He plays a huge role on that team. I'm no longer sort of excited Mitchell about
and Cade Monk. Ellis.
Yeah,
Monk also plays fantastic next to De'Aaron Fox, which like you wouldn't necessarily expect that being two offensive first scoring ball ISO score ball in your hand guards. They play great off each other. Yeah. So not having them also takes away from De'Aaron, takes away from Sabonis and the pace of the game. So I think it's a big one. I mean, we're not going to talk about the sixth man of the year race, but if Naz Reid and the Timberwolves have a strong finish, that could be an interesting one. What about Jamal Murray? Top of the league, Denver Nuggets, been sliding, been trying to get through it. Jokic been solidifying his MVP case without Murray holding the Nuggets afloat, but you're going to need Murray back instantly in the Western Conference playoffs. Instantly.
I mean, that he's the difference between being the favorite probably with the Celtics or just being another team in the West, and it would be actually hard for them to get out of there, even with Jokic MVP going ham. But I think that they might be saving him a little bit. He's been hurt on and off all year. They know how big of a deal he is. Maybe Alec has an injury update.
Yeah, do you have the latest on Jamal?
So he was back last night, actually, against the Hawks.
Great, great. So hopefully they chill with him a little bit.
Like 21 minutes, but he was back. Fine.
I would have taken the Lakers over the Nuggets if Jamal Murray was out.
Yeah, Jamal
in a playoff series.
Yep.
Agreed there. Wow. Sure.
Embiid is back. I think another one is going to be De'Anthony Melton, actually, for the 76ers. We talk about, like, funky role players. Nick Nurse said he's not that close to returning.
Yeah.
But he's really important. So if they can get him back, that lineup with Maxey, Melton, Tobias, Batum, and Embiid had, like, the second best net rating in the NBA, only behind Boston's starting five.
Yeah. I don't know who's getting out of the play-in games there in the East, and I'm so much more excited about the West. But when I see the Heat and the Sixers in the 7-8, so they would be matched up against the Celtics and the Bucks, the two best teams in the East. What phenomenal first-round matchups for all my complaints about the East being worse, because Embiid is legit, and they've talked about the Celtics so little because he's been out so long. That, you know, they're almost sleeping on him. The Celtics need this. They've had so much pressure on them. And for as much as I love Embiid, I don't think that's helped him in playoff series. And now maybe he can play free.
AV, if the Heat and 76ers end up in the play-in in the Eastern Conference and end up battling for the 7-8 and maybe ultimately end up being the 7-8 because whoever loses the first game wins the second game, then we actually need to revisit the can the first few seeds just outright choose their opponent? Like we have to, like, the Celtics having to go against the 76ers if they get the eighth seed and let, you know, the Pacers sit there in the six. There's no way an Embiid comes back and they go 7-0 or something down the stretch, or 6-1 because Embiid is resting today against San Antonio. So maybe San Antonio wins, but like, there's no way the Celtics would want that. And then now they're having one of the best seasons in the history of the league. They're going to have 65 wins plus. They're going to have the most dominant net rating we've ever seen. And then it's going to be met with, here's Joel Embiid.
Yeah, that is tough. It's such a big shift, and you don't see it in any of the sports. But the NBA has been sort of open-minded to big changes. I will say that the best argument for it in my mind is you want to make it as valuable as possible to win regular season games. There's no reason it should be advantageous to fall in the standings or hurt you to be in first, because now with injuries, you're unlucky, you have a bad matchup. It should always be the best to win the most games.
I think it could be trend-setting for other leagues. Like, ooh, maybe like NHL that. Is eventually doing it. Could you imagine if football ever does something like that? I think if the NBA creates the choose your matchup, there could be a whole day. Like, they used to broadcast the All-Star Draft. Imagine having a team representative there and doing the we're drawing our opponents.
Yeah, playoff seating day. That's right? Awesome.
Like,
yeah,
imagine Luka looking at Kawhi when Kawhi says, we're playing the Mavericks. And Luka's just there like, okay, all right, bring it the fuck on. It would be sweet.
I couldn't agree more. And you just named the playoff matchup I'm most excited about.
Yeah, okay, let's segue this over. Alex, do we have any other injury? Hit us with the last few injuries.
Breaking news almost on the pod.
Oh.
Giannis is going to have, reported from Underdog NBA, wherever they got that from, Giannis is likely to have his minutes monitored the rest of the regular season per Doc.
Oh, that's fine. That's not breaking news. He's got a hamstring thing. You don't want to play too hard on a hamstring. We saw with Halliburton. Then they won't be in the play-in. He'll have a week's rest. I'm on the Bucks today against the Knicks. Let's see how much that influenced the line.
Perhaps.
It has not influenced the line one iota.
Okay.
I appreciate that. I don't mean to squash your news, but I don't think it's as big of a deal. I was scared shitless. You were going to say Giannis is going to end up missing the rest of the season with the hamstring or shutting down.
I was just thinking maybe they're a little bit more concerned about it than they've let on, but that's, you know, your take.
Hopefully just being cautious, but I also respect Underdog. That's where I go for injury. It's also
Other ones that we need to work through around the league?
Shea, I think they're
Seems
6 of 7.
Good.
But nothing pretty vague there too.
I'm gonna assume he's out today against the Charlotte Hornets.
Him and J Dub are both.
So it's just interesting. That one's the only reason that's interesting is because it's like they're resting him before the playoffs. Clearly, they've been the most healthy team all season. Yeah. So OKC going with the we're not going to fight for the number one seed. We're actually okay potentially getting the 2 or 3, which right now means you're playing against the Phoenix Suns as the 3-6 in the first round. Kind of a nightmare. But this is what OKC is saying to the league. We're prioritizing health. We're prioritizing rest. And we'll see if it works out. Like, this will be another way to judge OKC. We talked about trend setting by choosing your matchups. This is potentially OKC doing another thing. OKC's been trend setting from a management perspective in so many ways, whether that be injury load management, whether that be absorbing bad contracts to then take on picks to help you rebuild. Right? Remember when they took in Kemba to gain a first? And then they take in Al Horford to gain a first.
Innovative.
And then they give out Al Horford. Yep, and then they rest them. And then they give out Al Horford. And then they do the same thing with Chris. So they're. That's what OKC does. They have shown to be trendsetters in management. Let's see if this pays off. You got the healthiest team for the entire regular season. Rest them. Don't care about your seeding. That's why we should go back to you should be able to choose your matchup because essentially they'd be allowing someone to choose a better matchup than them. But they're going to play the cards that they're dealt and go into the playoffs as healthy as possible. We'll see if it works out, and we'll see if that's kind of what the Clippers are doing too. I'm glad that recapping the injuries, Alec and AV, has made us feel like we actually might be at a pretty healthy place to start the playoffs.
I agree. As long as Kawhi is healthy. Please,
right.
Kawhi. Yeah.
Yes. This might be a great season so far that we've seen. Knock on wood. My desk is wood. That player participation policy actually worked.
Mostly. I think them hustling, almost like the Halliburton situation, was hard for me. But otherwise,
agreed.
Yeah.
But I think he would have done that regardless, because I don't think him, if he didn't play, I don't know if he would have made the awards anyway. So I think he kind of had to. And I almost think if we really get into the nuance of it, if he only played 55 games, he probably wasn't winning the awards anyways. So considering he had the contract to get to for the 50 million other reasons, I think he would have tried to push it regardless. But we should revisit if the 65 games rule should exist. But generally, the player participation efforts have worked, and we've seen it, and it's not going to be a detriment to the playoffs. I think that was the biggest concern I had when I first had it. Are you going to push all these guys to play, and then 18 of them are going to be out in the playoffs, and half the All-Stars are going to be gone? That was my biggest concern. Seems not to be happening, and it seemed that makes me really happy. Let's talk about which playoff matchups we want the most. AV, you were saying Clippers versus Mavericks. That's so obvious. I don't
so
know
obvious. I mean, it's like it checks every box. Not only do we have the rivalry aspect of the fact that they played each other so many times, that Luka has risen to like crazy heights to sun the Clippers time and again, but how about the fact that in a loaded West with so many championship potential teams this year, that could have been a Western Conference Finals matchup. Both of those teams are finals potentials, the way that Luka's carrying the Mavs right now. I've never seen the Clippers healthy in the playoffs, and you and I both have loved the way that their team is made up, both personnel-wise and Ty Lue-wise, when they get into the playoffs specifically. So, I feel sad that one of those teams has to go out, but happy for fans. We get to watch it.
AV, you're missing one big
What do we got?
Caveat to that series that we haven't had in years past. Fucking Kyrie Irving's going to be playing in it, too.
Oh, has Kai not been in the playoffs so well? I forgot that he had he hasn't been on the team.
Part of the Mavs Clippers.
Yes,
so
correct.
Now Luka,
right.
Who's always been doing amazing things with a bit of an undermanned supporting cast, now has Kyrie, who's one of the most fun players to just watch out there. Like, strong the dude is electric. Everyone loves watching Kyrie. If you're talking about, you know, players who are the most fun to watch in the NBA, Kyrie's probably still top five, top 10 on that list. Like, is on that list too, and won't be around, but like Kyrie's definitely on that list. That's going to be an amazing wrinkle to that. Alec, give me an Eastern Conference playoff series that you will dream of seeing. Doesn't have to be one in the first round. Just like which one would you want?
I'll give you a first round one. Celtics Sixers.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I love that. Yeah, it's crazy. That could be first round.
Do Sixers have any chance?
So it looks like in a series like that.
Yeah, in that series.
I lean Boston. I feel pretty safe with Boston in that. I was surprised by how far it went last year. Embiid's to me has been, it seems, as good as he is, it just seems like in the playoffs I don't know if he's tired or the injuries, but I trust Boston more in that series. Although they'll definitely give them a run for their money. It's not a first round matchup. The Celtics want to be rewarded with after such a dominant regular season.
You would assume the Celtics would get someone where it wouldn't even be fun to watch them play because they're blowing teams out so hard. Yep. So certainly it's not that. And again, like we were talking about, Embiid with less pressure, even though we go over this too, it's just harder for a big man like Embiid, who's a post-catch player for the most part, back to his basket, more ISO stuff, to dominate in the playoffs versus a guard where you can just give him the ball and like run stuff through him through the top, especially for end-of-game shots. You can just force the ball out of a big man's hand, double easier. It's just harder. But I hope that they shine. Maxey's taking a big step up. They have pieces. They can do it. It's Celtics, you know, are just kind of too good, probably.
So I think my default is going to be what's new to this series that we haven't seen. Like I said, with the Kyrie thing. Yeah. It's Nick Nurse in this one. Like 76ers, finally, it's the Nick Nurse versus Joe Mazzulla, right? This has been met with, was Brad Stevens a coach during one of the, I know he wasn't last year, but was Brad Stevens previously a coach during a 76ers Celtics battle? Yes, he was. Mazzulla was coached last year against Doc Rivers, which people have their qualms on both sides of those. Now I think we're universally saying
Nick Nurse,
76ers have the better coach.
Yeah.
And Nick Nurse has put a lot more into this system, more outs, more options, more back cuts, more. There's more. I think actions is the right word. There's more going on for each player to have options with the ball to pass, create, shoot, drive, kick, whatever. The 76ers offense looks so good. We talked about the best two net ratings. That's why I'm kind of hoping, Alec, that's a second round series and the 76ers, or even an Eastern Conference Finals, and the 76ers avoid the Celtics in the first part of the bracket, because I think those are the two best teams in the East now that Embiid is back and looking great. And if we can hold off on that matchup until D'Anthony Melton gets back, I think that's going to be integral to that matchup. Let me give you guys one that I'm dying to see.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm gonna look through it now. Give me Bucks Heat.
Nice.
Run it back. Let's see Doc Rivers now in Milwaukee. Let's see. Giannis is actually the best he's ever been. I will say that. This is the best Giannis we've ever seen. He's not going to win the MVP because Joker's around, but he's having just as good of an MVP season as he ever did. He's the reason why the Milwaukee Bucks have been able to stay afloat despite their team chemistry looking a little weak, their defense looking like it had soured, Brooke Lopez looking like he can't really move his feet, Dame Lillard being in and out of the lineup. When they have Dame and Giannis in the lineup, their numbers are really good. They win a lot of games, and Giannis is going to be the best player on the court in that series against the Heat, against the Celtics. But the Heat took them last year. The Heat showed that they're not scared of anyone. I would say the Heat probably want them and want to run that series back, and they're going to take it right to them. And we've seen Spoelstra take an undermanned rotation and scheme it out to win a playoff series. Bucks Heat would be phenomenal. Yeah, star power versus coaching too. And chemistry.
Yeah, I like that matchup. Again, for all my complaints of the East, there will be some good first round matchups here.
So we need so in this dream scenario for Alec, I guess, because I want the Celtics to play them later on. We get the 76ers and Heat in the play in. Heat win the first game. We get Heat Bucks. 76ers win the second game. We get 76ers Celtics in the first round. That means you also get Knicks Magic, which is a fucking phenomenal series, despite the injuries and maybe not the title ceiling on either side. It's an amazing series, just as Knicks Cavaliers was last year. And then Cavs Pacers is going to be probably the throwaway series of the entire NBA in that instance, because all the Western Conference ones will be lit.
Yeah, I'm fully on board with that breakdown. I cannot wait for these Western Conference series. I'm staring at the standings now.
The Knicks-Magic series will be a real dogfight. It's a great matchup between them, two hard-nosed, defensive, physical teams. So that one will be fun. Hopefully the Knicks get home court.
Hopefully. I would also say, no matter what, good for Banchero and France to get this kind of playoff exposure so early in their careers, even if they don't move on.
Totally.
Should we finish off with the last topic?
Yeah, what do we got? Oh, up to something season. Let's go.
It's up to something season on the Advantage, baby.
Oh.
All right, we have a few topics to cover.
We got a box, it looks like.
We have a box. We have artwork. So up to something season, we're straight ripping this from Pat McAfee's show. There's some things happening behind the scenes at the Advantage that we want to give you guys a little sneak preview of what's to come over the next few months, because there are some really exciting developments happening at Advantage HQ out here in beautiful San Diego. So let's run through it, AV. The first things first, let's start real basic.
Okay.
I've had a pretty bland podcast background for my entirety of recording. And now we have actual, like, we have good numbers tuning into the streams right these days. So I need to up the little video production. And that popped into my eyes yesterday when I was at the thrift store. There was a little weekend pop-up thrift market. Very cool vibe.
San Diego.
Smoked a J, took a nice walk with Bronny and two of my friends, grabbed a coffee and walked through the thrift store. You would have loved to be there with us.
Delightful.
Wow.
Young Kobe. Okay.
Wow. That couldn't be better.
That's a good find. Yeah, for those who watch through the camera, it's beautiful right there. Yeah, so you're going to put it up right behind you there on the right?
Yeah, I think.
Love it.
I think we're going to go right here or something.
Boom. Oh, dude, that looks great. That's awesome. Good find.
Is the Space Jam one going to make it as well?
You know, AV, do you know about the Space Jam one?
No, I haven't seen that one either. Just an art show today here. Big day.
This is an art show. Besides my dog, this is my prized possession in my life. If there was a fire burning in my house and I could only grab one thing, and Bronny was able to run out on her own because she has legs, this is what I would take. This has always been on the other side of my podcast, so it's never been in the studio for the show, but I've always been looking at it as I've recorded every episode. It is a picture.
Hold it up a little higher.
It is a picture of MJ from Space Jam.
Yeah.
It has MJ's autograph on it. You see it.
I did with the silver pen. I see it a little now, a little glare. You know, I'm saying.
And then it has the film strips from that scene that is where
in the bottom there.
This has the film strips from the camera.
Yeah.
From the scene of this shot.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Where did you acquire that? That's not a thrift store find.
I found this at a sports memorabilia shop where there was just a ton, like every signed baseball you could ever imagine, Brett Favre footballs and jerseys and everything. And I found this in the shop, and I was a massive Space Jam fan as a kid.
Yeah, same. That was a great one.
I grabbed this, and I went to the store owner, and I said, how much is this? And he's like, let me look it up. And he tries to look it up in his inventory kit, and he's like, I don't even have that listed in here. I'll give it to you for $750. And I go, deal. Immediately, like $750 for this MJ Space Jam framed matted. There's also a battery pack. You could put a battery in and click a switch, and it lights up the film strips and starts moving.
that is right? awesome.
And it has a certificate of authenticity too. So I said, immediately done. Then I kept going around the store for a little bit, trying to find other things or whatever. I was with some people. They might have gotten stuff too. I don't really remember. That's all I got. And I go to the counter to check out, and he's like, what did I say? $2,500. And I go, no, you said $750. And he looks back at me, he's like, all right. He's like, honestly, man, the framing itself is over $1,000. And I'm like, sweet, get it for $750. I looked it up on eBay probably about a little over a year ago, and there was one for $10,000.
Wow. So yes, it shows how little I know here.
It's numbered to 500.
Because it's sick. As you're telling me, it's 100% sick. As you're telling me that it's 750, I'm like trying to hold my face, being like, I don't know, man. That's a lot of money. I don't really know. But it sounds like it is factually 10x that. And so
There's a few listed on eBay right now that you can buy for like 10,000. I'm gonna be holding that for a while. Nice. What else is going on up to something season, guys? Let's see. I have officially. Starting this Friday, what's the date for this Friday? Friday 12th, is
because I'm going
the
away
12th.
The 11th. Yeah.
Nice, Friday is April 12th. So on Thursday, April 11th, I will be recording a Slate Breakdown podcast for the NBA for Friday's games and just covering whatever we need to cover with two other professional gamblers, Drew and Mike. Drew came on the show with me a few weeks ago. Mike is someone else who's in my circle who I'm going to bring on the show. And so I bring on UAV. We know that you're not a gambler. I bring on Gibby. Gibby's a good recreational gambler, but you guys are like, you're a lawyer. Gibby's a banker. You guys are like my friends since childhood.
Whoa. I'm a playoff analyst. I was promoted today.
Yeah. Okay. Lead playoff analyst also lawyer on the side, generating more of the income. But maybe that the lawyer's a side hustle. I'm really happy to hear that. Thank you. you guys are like, so I've known you guys since I was, two or three or whatever. The other guys, these are real professional gamblers. They're going to be joining me. And the shows with you guys are great. Like, there's no one better to just talk basketball with. And Bronny James.
Yeah, we're on it.
You.
Get to
and
it.
And Gibby.
Yeah.
Gibby's like 7-1 in the picks that he's given out on the podcast, right? So Gibby's fucking crushing it too. So no disrespect to either of you, but it will be fun to have some other professional gamblers. And that's not even going to be this Friday. That is going to be every Friday for the rest of the season.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. The Advantage umbrella here is just growing.
Yeah, so there will be at least one more episode a week on the Advantage feed, which will be an NBA slate breakdown through the playoffs, covering with more than one professional gambler, and you will have some other inputs and other tricks to learn from them as well. Will be a lot of strategy stuff. The other thing, AV... Of course, everyone who's listening right now should be signed up for fiddlespicks.substack.com. That is my free gambling newsletter. If you are signed up, if you like what we talk about on a audio podcast, you might like what we write about on the newsletter. So go sign up completely free, fiddlespicks.substack.com. We have some sponsorships coming to both the podcast and the Substack. So the first one of which is Manscaped. This is the first time I'm opening this box. Appreciate Manscaped for sending this. They sent me like an 8-piece men's grooming kit. I'm pretty excited. I'm Jewish, which means I grow hair on more than just my head. So this might help.
That is a ringing endorsement. That box looks nice too. A little black and gold unboxing right there.
So I actually cut my own hair, AV. Respect. I don't know if you knew that. I've cut my own hair for years because I just would get buzz cuts. And so one day I was like, why don't I just get myself a really nice razor and see if I could just shave my own head? So I did. I bought one of like a barbershop quality, buzzers with the blades and the whatever, right? And it was like $150. And for years, I've been able to use that kit and shave my own head and give myself, you know, one on the side, two on the side, three on top, fade the middle. Like, I'm pretty good. Like, right? It looks pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That kit has been wearing thin now. And like, you could even see some of the blades are starting to rust. I will come back in a future episode and let you know if this can start doing the job that I've relied on that kit in the past, because I'm excited. This came at the perfect time where I might get like a new free Manscaped razor, and I will let you guys know if it's actually worth it. And you guys can use code FBI for Fantasy Basketball International for like, I don't know. I think it's like 15-20% off Manscaped stuff.
Nice. Respect.
They also sent me the shirt. Manscaped, your balls will thank you.
I noticed that on the inside of the box.
How quickly does this go to the thrift store?
I mean, if you have to make more trips there to get more Jordan memorabilia, you may as well bring something to trade.
Alec, would you ever wear a shirt that says your balls will thank you?
Not out in public. Maybe.
If it's really comfortable, I'll wear it to bed and stuff. Or maybe there if I have go. A girl, or maybe if I have a girl over one night, I'll whip it out because single fids is quite single right now.
Nice, they're good. That's a good self promotion right there. Yeah, I mean, or maybe me you know,
wear it on the pod.
I was gonna say maybe you could wear it on the pod where like they exchange money for your endorsement. That would be a good time to wear it. Manscaped. There you go.
Okay, what else is going on up to some season? Oh, let's hope that my Faja. Does not listen to this episode 1 minute in. First of all, thank you guys for going a little deeper with me on this one. We're filling out the tattoo sleeve this summer.
Hey, what are we getting?
And there are some updates to that. So I'm gonna fill in this area. I'm only doing the inside, right? I'm okay. Keeping the outside of my arm undone for now. We'll see. But I'm gonna fill in the inside with some birds, a paper airplane.
Oh yeah,
maybe some stars and some moon here or whatever, but I'm gonna make this more of a scene that flows together.
I like it.
And you want to know that something that's really cool that's gonna be happening with that?
I have to
also fill in here a little bit too. The person that designed the Advantage branding logo, she doesn't even know this yet. I'm going to have her design the tattoos and then take it to an artist because I love her style. And she's so good at capturing my thoughts and then putting it into a thing. So I have a few images of things that I like and the ways I'm going to brand it to get like bring it together. But I'm going to let her do it. But I'm really excited because I think the Advantage and everything that I'm doing here is starting to really take off. I'm obviously not putting these stuff on my body. Please, no need to do that. But I'm going to have the artist who designed it also make artwork that's going to go on my body anyways. So very exciting to have that ode to everything that we're building here also be part of the design.
I like that. I like the Advantage logo here.
Do you remember Elias Kraushar?
Yeah.
It's his younger sister. She was my age. One of my.
Oh, friends. Nice. I don't know if I knew his sister, but Elias always seemed like a very nice kid.
Yeah. If anyone needs some great graphics designed, let me flip the banners real quick on the studio. You guys can see the watermarked Advantage stuff.
Water.
Boom. Nope. Yep. Nope. That doesn't work. Now I switch to the top where you can see the colored in logo. If anyone's watching on the stream or the studio, she's phenomenal. You can reach out to me. I could connect you with her. AV, is there anything else that we need to talk about for up to some season? We have sponsorships coming more than just Manscaped. We have another exciting one coming to the Substack. So we got sponsorships coming. We have a new weekly episode every Friday on the Advantage feed.
That's exciting.
The person who designed the Advantage stuff helping to finish my tattoo sleeve. And then, this is how we're going to end. Because Alec dipped himself out because we've already gone too long. Starting, I think, next season, AV, I'm going to try and work out a premium text service for my picks. I know you won't be involved in that. If you want them, I'll give them to you.
But, forget about being involved. I don't even know what a premium text service means.
Yeah, like for right, all now, the... I put all my picks on Twitter, and I just screenshot a line, and maybe if you have my notifications set, but then it'll get annoying because I'll tweet out other things. I tweet out six fucking links to this show and come join us in an hour, starting in 5 minutes. So if you have my notifications on,
premium pick service, AB still killing it in the chat over there. I thought it was premium text service, premium pick service. I see you
via text.
Yeah.
I want people to sign up for a text that I can then send out a pick directly to them so that they could just get it wherever they are and then not have it bogged down with all of my other content. So I'm working on figuring that out so that there could be a first access channel for people who want my picks starting next season. Nice.
That sounds good.
Keep it the same for the rest of the season. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to today's show. It means a lot to me. Thank you, AV. Thank you, Alec, for going deeper than we normally do. Few last things, if you're still left, I appreciate you. Thanks for being here. Hey, hi, how you doing? This Tuesday, a really important podcast is coming to the feed. I recorded it last night, but because I was doing this episode, I didn't want to release two weekend episodes. I'm going to release it on Tuesday. It is 5 tips for NBA playoff betting. If you intend to be good at betting, you want to listen to that show. I am going to be dropping it on Tuesday on the feed. I will make sure to send it out in the newsletter. I will make sure to tweet out the link. That is an episode that I assume that some of you guys are going to want to listen to it once, twice, three times before the playoffs. So you get some of these strategies and tips and tricks learned and then can reapply them. So big episode coming on Tuesday. It is already recorded. It is fucking great. I might be biased, but it was really good. It was really important. Hope you guys all tune in. AV, thank you as always for your time. And to everyone else, peace out.
I'm the type to get shit done.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.